Blog Talk Radio.
Working for me.
My faith is rising now.
It's working for me.
And although I can't
eternal and everlasting love is what we have. I don't know about you, but I am excited and grateful that the love of the Lord is intentional. And because it is intentional, the intent of God is that we be healthy and that we be whole. 3 John 2 says, above all, I desire that. And so when we begin to reflect over the fact that the love of God is so intentional, it's purposeful, it is divinely directed towards us, for us. And so I believe that as we just take a moment to reflect over that intentional love, we will realize that Jeremiah says, look, I know the plans that I have for you. I know my intent towards you. I know my intentions for you, and they are to prosper you. They're to bring you to an expected end. They're to do you no harm. 3 John 2, above all, I desire that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And so I believe that the intentional love of God is for us to be relationally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, sexually. It is for us to be healthy and whole. It is for us to be reflections of the eternal love that God has. And so we become a reflection of that. We become an example of that in the earth realm to others. So I was really appreciative of that song that talked about the intentional love of God. So let us get started on this evening. We have the responsibility, as we looked at the fear of rejection, the fear of punishment, shame, and the fear of failure. We gave you God's solution, God's remedy to those four areas. And so you were responsible for looking up three scriptures for reconciliation, propitiation, regeneration, and justification as you begin to understand them in relationship to God's healing and restorative plan. So the more that we come to know and understand God and his intent for us, the healthier that we live. We begin to live whole and healthy lives. And so we want to give you all time to share for a few minutes. And as you go over each of them, additional insight will be shared into them. So I don't know who wants to start, but we looked at the fear of rejection. And on last Monday, when we talked about the fear of rejection, and we just kind of gave you some insight to the fear of rejection. And so this became important for us to identify, because oftentimes in becoming approval addicts, we look for the approval of others to validate ourselves. We look to be accepted. It may not be across the board. It may not be important that everybody accepts us. But oftentimes, there are individuals that their acceptance of us, their thought about us becomes important. And honestly, sometimes it is equally, if not more important than God's thought about us. And so we want to begin to look at what about others' opinion about us causes it to be in competition about God's truth about us. If we believe that we have this unconditional acceptance in Christ, and when we reflect over that, that's a profound and should be life-altering, life-changing truth, that there is this unconditional acceptance that God has for us. And so let's take a minute to look at what reconciliation means. Does someone have a working scriptorial definition for reconciliation?
This is Minister Brenda. Reconciliation I have is defined as the restorative of friendly relations. And the deceptions are fear of rejection, low self-esteem, people pleasers, not being able to give and receive love, bitterness. And the scriptures that I had was Psalms 34 and 17 to 18, John 15, verse 18, 1 Peter 2 and 4, Psalms 27 and 10, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and Psalms 94 and 14.
Could you repeat those again?
Share one of them with us, please.
Okay.
One of your scriptures that gives definition to the word reconciliation.
Okay. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That's Psalms 27 and 10.
Okay, and so what about that particular scripture speaks of reconciliation for you as you hear it?
Because that, I will put that in rejection, because if your own mother and father have rejected you, but you know that the Lord will always take you in.
So when we hear, so let's anybody else before we go on. So when we hear reconciliation, let's start this way. What is the actual lie of the enemy?
The enemy would be rejection or low self-esteem.
Okay. And what's an example of that?
And
you're
Esau
the only
and Jacob.
That... Somebody said what?
Esau and Jacob.
Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Okay.
It's Genesis 4 and 11. I'm sorry, Genesis 33, 4 through 11. That's where the story is.
Okay. And what do we know? Tell us the example. The lie of the enemy says what?
The lie of the enemy was, had Jacob fearing his brother, that his brother wouldn't receive him, you know, because of what had happened in the past. That whole story.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now practically lived out, what is the lie? And people don't, you don't necessarily have to say this out loud, but I definitely want you to create a column that says the lie of the enemy and then the truth of God. What is the lie of the enemy in this area that we give ear to? What lie is competing against the truth of God?
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin to look at reconciliation, and when we begin to make assessments of it from the perspective of the fear of rejection, part of what I would like for us to consider and look at is, because as we have the opportunity to minister to other individuals, there are a variety of things that people believe that may or may not be true. It may have been true in one season, isn't true in this season. Now, it may be what they believe, but it doesn't make it true. It may have been healthy in one season of their life, and now it is completely unhealthy thinking for where the Lord is taking them. And so as we have the opportunity to share with individuals, part of what needs to happen in our process is that we need to begin to look at what are some of the things that we ascribe to being true that just isn't. What are some of the opinions? Whose opinion, let's do it this way, thank you, Lord, whose opinion is important to us?
God.
I'm sorry, somebody said who?
Somebody said God, but what I would like for us to look at, and so Apostle is sharing with you, especially those that scored at a good score, all right, which would indicate there was no fear of rejection. But I guess I want us to look at deeper than that, is that when you get ready to preach or someone tells you you're going to do the worship service, or they give you a task, they want you to teach a class, you know, there is something, there's an emotion that arises in us. And that emotion is what we have to identify and connect and then find out why we feel that way. And I believe that as Apostle was sharing, everybody has a base of information that they use in order to do anything they do, to think the thoughts they think, to respond to words, situations, and people. And even though I know that some of them say, you know, like when you have a sense that someone might reject you, you become nervous and anxious. Well, that may not happen very often, but whenever it does, what is it rooted out of? And this scripture, as it was with Esau and his brother, he feared rejection. And the fear of rejection is a false belief that the enemy and that society and the rules of society and the standard of mankind has instilled in us that has to be torn down. And so when there's that fear of rejection, okay, it will cause us to avoid certain things. And we may use that a repression or decide, you know, I just do that because I don't want to be bothered. That is not true. And so what the Lord wants us to see, especially when we are sharing with others and trying to bring them into a good, wholesome, healthy place, is there is a root that all of these emotions are springing out of. And if the emotion is based on a database of falsehood, of trends, of even culture, okay, that's not stable, then the emotions that come forth won't always be God honoring. And so we have to identify what is at the heart of it. Apostle taught a phenomenal class about that onion. And so often we peel the first and the second layer. We go, oh, I got it. That's it. But there's so much more to that onion. And unless we unpeel
all of it, we have not reached the source. And until we reach the source, we can't rip it up. We can't take it out of, if you will, the database of what we use in order to make the decisions we make, the words we say, think the thoughts that we say. And so all of these things, you want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight. And so that was the prayer of the psalmist. And the reason he said, because there are secret faults and there are hidden things inside of me that I don't know about. And so we're asking God to expose them, to bring it up to light. And so in doing that, that takes a sense of honesty, but it also takes a source of truth that you're going to have to rely on. And so the scripture that the minister used about, you know, my mother and father forsake me, but the Lord will take me up. That's a truth that if you take that truth and you embrace it, every time you have that feeling of anxiety when you're asked to do something, when you're criticized by other people, when you find yourself trying to impress people, you know, sometimes we'll go beyond what we should in our spending in order to look a certain way for a certain event to impress people. We really do. It's just a natural thing that we do. But that isn't God-honoring. So when we find ourselves doing that, the root of why we're doing it is what we want to get to. Because that's the only way to help people, if you will, become better, is by allowing them to have a new way of thinking. And the new way of thinking comes through the revelation of God. And even if you can't talk about God, you can still talk about the things that have virtue. The things that have virtue and that honor God, if they're replaced by those things that are unstable, you know, just a matter of who's in the White House or who's, you know, the governor, or is who's the boss at work, who owns the company, or whatever it is, what law is in effect for today that doesn't necessarily have to be tomorrow. All of those things keep us in a state of chaos if that's the database we're using in order to come up with our thinking, our words, and our actions. And so I think it's such a powerful place to start, particularly with those two brothers, because it wasn't until the one realized that his database was wrong. He was looking at it through a custom, you know, the custom of the land. He wasn't looking at it through the will and the eyes of God. And so he feared going to his brother. He feared his brother not only rejecting him, but killing him because of something he had done wrong. So we often have that fear of rejection because we've done something wrong. And yet understanding that we're forgiven will cause us to know that we don't have to fear punishment. And if you don't have to fear punishment, you don't have to fear that retribution because you've been reconciled to God through Christ. And that is something that was done once and for always. Apostle, I think it would really be good if you take out your questions, the little exams that you did on the different, there were four states that we often find ourselves in under the false belief. And that's the performance trap, the approval addict, the blame game, and shame. And when we look at those things, and then we look at the words that we were told to get the scriptures for, we can understand how the scripture can uproot that lie. So the scripture that the minister gave as it relates to reconciliation being a resolving a conflict. And this particular conflict is the one that is resolved between God and man. And God gives that to us through Christ. We have that. You know, that's when you get the scripture, you know, I don't have to fear man. What can man do to me? Because
yeah,
I'm reconciled to God. You know, and so in that reconciliation comes other truths that you can then stand on and apply to different circumstances and situations that come up, which will cause you not to fear the rejection of man, not even of losing your job or, you know, my children won't love me or, you know, just so many things that we do because we really do fear rejection. Parents feel fear rejection of their children, young and grown. You know, workers fear the rejection of their boss. Bosses fear the rejection of their employees. You know, and, you know, members at church feel the rejection of those around them. One leader feel like they'll be rejected by another leader if they don't do it this way or whatever. All of those are the fear of rejection. You know, and it's not until we become firmly planted in the truth that God gives, like these powerful words of reconciliation, justification, perpetuation, and regeneration, which is why those are words that we're encouraged to seek the definition and understand, not just the definition, but the understanding of them when a leader is being elevated, because these are words that are foundational that will uproot any hidden sin or presumptuous sin or those sins that's within us that we don't realize that are there. And then when we're able to recognize them, because they don't, the emotion does not fit the truth that God says about me. So if I'm not responding based on that truth, then I'm responding based on a lie. And if that's what I'm doing, then I need to look and take apart each level of emotions that I have. And usually it's three or four levels down before you get to the root. So it's sometimes when people criticize you, then you get angry. You're angry at the person that said something, you know, or made some sarcastic remark. You're angry. So you have to say to yourself, why am I feeling this emotion of anger? Because you're feeling rejection. And you may say, I'm not fearing rejection from them, but you are. And that's it. We could say anything. We've learned to make ourselves numb to something because it reveals such a weakness that we cannot deal with. And so we have to do whatever is necessary to deal with. And that's why they say fake it till you make it, but you fake it but never make it because you have not allowed the Lord to renew it and create a new thing. So you're trying to dress up and manipulate an old thing to fit so that your response will look godly. It will look God-honoring when truly it still isn't, if in the heart of it does not rest the truth of God. So when we look at these questions and sometimes we answer them, I know I did. When I first said, maybe. But when you look beyond just the surface of it, becoming depressed when someone criticizes you. You know, sometimes when a child would do that, and a child may say something very innocent but probably true to a parent, and the parent would get angry about it. And the child is just speaking, and, you know, I know an old folks that's disrespectful and that sort of thing, and I understand that. And I'm not saying that that is an excuse for anything. But what I'm saying is the fact that what they said hurt your feelings. And we're not going to respond in hurt feelings. We're going to respond totally different. And what that is doing is not allowing us to be honest about what's deep within us that took it very personal. Took it personal. And as a result, we felt challenged by our character or challenged by someone's attitude or opinion or what they said about us. When we have to realize that it's only what God says about us that matters, even when it's true. Okay, they may be saying something very true, and it's very negative. You know, and that's where we come. Why? Well, you know, well, how can you feel good? Because I've been reconciled. So I can thank God that I'm reconciled to God, and I don't have to go to hell for that. But I am forgiven for that, for Christ paid that price for me for that thing. And so each one of these things sometimes leads to another place that we didn't really go, well, you know, I wasn't really looking at it like that, okay? You know, I always try to determine what people think of me. You know, so oftentimes we do. We plan ahead. If I do this and I do that and they like this, so I'll do it that way, and then they'll like that. And do that for someone, especially someone you love, and then they don't appreciate it. You know, it's like, okay. You know, but you plan that because that's what you wanted to do for them. Now, there are things that you do for people because that's what your heart says. But when you're doing things for people and there's more to it than that, and those are people pleasers, then you'll find out it's because you really don't want to be rejected. You want to be accepted by them. And so you do the things that would make you acceptable, even sometimes when they're not maybe the very best thing to do, or the things you would do normally, okay? But because you want their approval and you do not want to be rejected by them, then those are some of the things that you do. And those are some of the things that people are going to come to you trouble about. You know, their minds and their situations are going to be frustrating and torturous to them because this is a cycle that's going on and on and on because they haven't gone to the root of it. And we want to be able to understand there is a deeper root and a deeper thing that needs to be exposed. And once we expose it, we can always use, I would say, the precept of the Word of God to address it. So that if you're in a situation where you can't talk about God and Jesus and the Bible, you can still use the precept, you know, being that, you know, you want to treat people the way you would want to be treated. That's a precept. You know, you don't have to use the scripture that God said do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But you're still using the precept of God and a truth that is sustainable because we happen to know that God gave us, Christ gave us the power to be established.
Mom, you drank them a long time ago. The bottles that you're drinking now is the last ones he brought you.
Amen. Which bottles?
No, sorry about that.
No, talk to me. Evangelist?
That's me? Or?
Who drank a bottle?
I'm sorry. I was talking to my mother, but what I wanted to say was everything you said was right there on the feeling wheel. You came right out of fear and went up to scared, anxious, rejection, threatened, all of that stuff. And then you moved on out to the outer wheel where it says helpless, frightened, overwhelmed, worried, inadequate, inferior, worthless, insufficient, insignificant, I'm sorry, excluded, persecuted, nervous, and exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You broke it down really well.
Yeah, everybody should use that feeling wheel. That's a very important tool because even when you ask, you know, some of us that are caregivers or parents or guardians, and you may ask about how you feel, oh, I feel all right. Don't accept that. That is not a definition of what's going on the inside. And why, and because we say okay and move on, then they don't feel that what they really feel has been validated. I said all right, and they're satisfied, so I'll be satisfied with all right. But when you pursue it because you know there's more to it than that, that's when you get people's attention. That's when you're able to get their ear. Okay, that's when they're able to really receive the love that God has given you for them because now you've made it personal and you've given an investment into them with your time, with your heart, you know, with your ministry. And that's what God is calling us to do. But so often, even in the class before, you know, he talked about it takes time. You have to sit before the Lord you know, and wait on him to saturate it and drop. You know, you have to do that, but you also have to give the person that you're going to be interacting with that same opportunity. Just as God gives us more, the more we give him, those people that come to you will give you more the more you give to them and show that you're willing to hear their heart, hear the part of them that they don't even know may exist, but exposing it. I'll never forget with the onion example and demonstration. Every week it was something phenomenal that was just revealed because you just did not see it that way. And that's what happens. Right. We don't often know how sick we are because we don't take time to truly examine the way we should be, which is what the Word of God is, the mirror. That's one of the scriptures that we need to memorize. Yes, anybody? Questions, comments, insights?
Aaron? Yeah. That's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Word of God is a mirror. You know, when you look in the mirror, not the mirror in the bathroom, but the mirror, the Word of God,
right,
you get to see yourself. You get to see yourself on the inside. And when you see yourself on the inside, you see yourself in His love, because Christ is the one who sits on the seat of who you are. Because between your mind and your heart, there is this void. There is this dark area. And that's because you lived in the world under the sun in the flesh without the Spirit. And that was this place where Christ was going to sit when He made you alive. And then everything changes because now He's having a relationship with you, and He didn't put anything between your relationship with Him. He didn't put anything. He gave you Himself. So you're the one that has to learn not to do this. Put stuff between you and Him, and He's going to teach you because He's a loving Father, who has your best interest in His thought process. So when you learn and grow in the, growing up in the Word, the knowledge of who you are in His Word and what that means, the faith that He's given to you, because you're walking in His love now, right? His love is eternal love. It's boundless and immeasurable, and there is no end times in His love. So we don't want to listen to the lies, because that wouldn't be the truth. Okay? And I know how it feels to have love assaulted. You know, I've had many assaults placed upon the existence of the love inside of my heart. But each time there's an assault, it proves one thing first and foremost, and that's my love is genuine, true love, and that puts a smile on my face so I can continue doing what I was doing, you know. So
and
it happens with our own children, as you know, and, and our own, you know. So, but yeah, this is just like growing up and in the Word, and the mirror. When you open the door to your heart, the handle's on the inside. So when you open up your heart to somebody, there's the mirror. They get to look in the mirror and see themselves, you know, and not a lot of people see themselves right away, or if they do, you know, I mean, if they can see, then they're going to know that you're honest with them, and they can trust you because you're honest, and you pay attention to their feelings, because in your relationship with God, you had to examine your feelings in light of truth, because you're not your feelings. You're underneath your feelings. And then you start realizing that, well, hey, it's not about me. It's about Christ in me. It's not me. So He's the one that's having the relationship with people outside of yourself. He's giving you the sound mind, right? And that's meant for other people outside of yourself. It has their best interest in your thought process. They're well.
Absolutely.
Right. So you're in the right place at the right time, no matter where you go.
Absolutely. And the key you just said is your thought process. And that's what we're called. That's what we're investigating is the trip in. The trip in comes from situations that assail us. And then what our belief is about that situation, that will lead to thoughts. And those thoughts then lead to emotion. And if this, those first three can evaluate, is the belief I have, is it right? Is it real? Is it based on the truth of God? And we can see, like, those four words, what the truth of God is. And that should bring good thoughts. The truth is we are reconciled. The truth is we are justified. The truth is that we have the perpetuation, that we're no longer, you know, subject to punishment. And because we are regenerated, he is at work in us. And so if those are the godly thoughts we have, then our emotions are going to be God-honoring. They will more likely come forth as praise and blessing to God and love to other people. When so often when a negative situation, a word, a circumstance come up against us, our response is, who are they talking to? Which is not based on a truth of God. It is not based on a belief that God has established with precept upon precept. It is based on something standard the world has purported to us, has kind of brainwashed us into feeling and thinking in it, and the standard that we're using to measure. And it's not the standard of Christ. And so as a result, our thoughts become ungodly. You know, well, who do they think they are? You know, do they know what I'll do? Or we can have a sarcastic response, or a very negative response, or even, God forbid, a hateful response. And emotionally, that's going to trigger very negative emotions from us, of anger and frustration. And, you know, that's what you see in the protests and the different things that are going on. And then they get out, they escalate, because it's really going from layer to layer to layer of what's really at the root of it. And so as it does that, the more it does that, the more the emotion does not look like the emotion of a child of God, or emotion of, as they used to say in a season, what Jesus would do or what Jesus would say. And so that the way we think is what the Lord has said, you will have a new mind. That Holy Spirit is going to give you some mysteries and some revelations about me, some knowledge about me, some understanding about me, that I am on your side. You belong to me. And this stuff, that as long as you have this and you hold on to this, then you'll understand your full worth. And you don't depend on the things that man says or do to give you worth and confidence and even assurance. We don't have to. Our assurance comes through Christ. And so as you were looking up your words, Minister Winslow did the word of reconciliation. Did anybody else do another word? And again, we have justification, perpetuation, and regeneration. Anybody on the line? Hello. As Apostle said, all of you basically have been required to have not just a definition, but an understanding of these words as leaders, as teachers, those that are sharing the gospel. You have to know the place that these four powerful words, the place they have in the journey of a saint, in the discipling of those that are coming to Christ, you know, in the lives of those that are finding order out of chaos through seeking the truth of God. So justification, who has justification? You've even had time now to look online and come up with the definition of
justification. I have all four.
Oh, okay, give us one. Yes.
I have all four, but I don't know that I did it right. I sent it in late here, but Okay, so justification, you said.
Yes.
Okay, this is my me putting everything I understood about justification into a definition. Okay.
Okay.
So
okay.
Justification, yeah. Let me see, I read this part somewhere. It's the judicial act of God which pardons all sins for those who believe in Christ. It accounts for, accepts, and treats them as righteous in the eye of the law of God. And that one was justification was under fear of failure. Now, I didn't put any additional explanation under that, but it still falls under the fear category on the feeling wheel. Let me see what else. It can also fall under the root of bad stress.
Okay.
Let me see what else. Justification. Definitely under fear. Under the fear category, though, a fear of rejection, fear of being threatened because of being exposed. What else? Justification. Sometimes it reveals our insecurities, our inferiority. These are all things that I'm pulling out now and didn't put in the homework.
Okay.
And sometimes even helps. And sometimes feeling helpless.
Okay.
What were some of your scriptures? Evangelist?
I'm sorry. They're all three are Romans. Romans 4:25, 5:16, and 5:18. Those were the three that I could find.
Okay, no problem. Do you want to read one? So based
sure.
off of your definition and what the word of the Lord says.
Okay. Okay, justification. I'm pulling the scripture. I wasn't that prepared. Okay. All right, Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification? Romans 5:16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for justification, I'm sorry, for judgment, was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The third one was 5:18. Therefore, as by the offenses of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
Okay, so based off of that definition, what do you understand about being justified? What do you share with someone who is battling in that area, understanding the justification of God? As so.
In simple words and what we've all heard time and time again, is that the price for our sin was paid through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And for me personally, it was the realization that he saw me coming and did that and knew that I would need an advocate with God, and his act brought about righteousness. So I'm clothed in a robe of righteousness through his eyes by what he did. So I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear being exposed. I don't have to fear all of those feelings.
Okay, so now I want you to share that with me. I want you to share that with me without using Christian language. No Christian terminology.
Okay, no Christian terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we use the words, we know the words to use.
Mm-hmm.
But relationally, we're not sure how they apply. We just know
I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I get what you're saying, and it's easier for me to say it the other way. I struggle with saying it the biblical way.
Okay.
Because I know what people group I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it's easier for me the other way, and the simple way that I tell kids, and I, you know, try to use kindergarten language always so that people understand it on a basic level, which is, you know, God doesn't hate us because God doesn't hate us. He created us for relationship with him. He created us to be a part of him, to be with him, to walk with him. He hates the sin, not the sinner. He hates our sin, and that's why he did what he did. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus did that on behalf of us, is because he hates the sin but loves us so much that he wanted us still to have a way to be able to be with him, be in right relationship with him. I don't use the word relationship. What do I use? It's been a minute since I talked to a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. And I liken that, I always liken it to what we have with our parents, you know, our parents, and sometimes it depends on the kid too, because love doesn't look like what love should look like in a parent-child relationship always. But beyond that, we have a father who loves us so much that he doesn't want these things for us, and he took them away, and all we have to do is come to him and tell him what we've done and let him know we're sorry for it and that we won't do it again with his help. We won't do it again. We can be free from it. I guess that was simple enough. It's been a while since I did that.
Amen. And I think that when we look at these two words, justification and reconciliation, we come to two very pivotal truths, God's truth, that we want to build our thinking on. And the one is, I am completely forgiven by and fully pleasing to God. I no longer have a fear of failure. I no longer need to fear. And the other one is, because of reconciliation, I am totally accepted by God. I no longer have a fear of rejection. He will not reject me. I am totally accepted by God. I am completely forgiven and fully pleasing to him, and I no longer fear rejection. So I don't have to do anything. Jesus did it. I don't have to say anything. He will put the words in my mouth. He has committed himself to us. Those are God's truths, and God's truths are based on, you know, Evangelist, God's promises. And so they all become things that we build on. Then we build upon the promises that are the precepts of these truths. And so when we build on, you know, I am totally accepted by God, the first, one of the things that one of the scriptures said, this is a gift. So it was nothing I had to do. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe it had been in justification, but in one of them it says, he did it. It's a gift. And so we have to understand that truth is, it's a gift. I can't earn it. You know, it's nothing I can do to improve it or to make it more intense or more powerful or any of those things, because I am totally accepted by God.
In the beloved.
That's right. And I am I no longer have to fear rejection. So if I get up in front of the people and I say 15 wrong things and half the preachers, they're not going to want me to preach and the people don't want to hear me no more, it's okay. I am fully accepted to Christ. And Christ has promised to perfect those things concerning me. And so that gives us a level of peace that will dispel that fear of being rejected. So that's just like saying, my daddy is the king. I don't care if, you know, the lawnmower man don't like me. Okay. You know, my daddy is the king.
So the exposure of the lie here, the exposure of the lie then is simply that, you know, we really fear what man thinks and not necessarily what God thinks, and we project that onto mm-hmm. God when it comes to the things of God. Well, he's going to reject me too, you know. So we mm-hmm. project that yeah. kind of fear onto our relationship with him. We come in it full, just wrapped in a robe of fear.
Yeah.
And then his truth reveals, you know, slowly peels back that onion.
Right. It's that onion.
And
yeah.
reveals the truth that we are totally accepted.
Exactly.
Fully pleasing.
And we not just,
that's why he
we don't just right. And we don't just project it to God. We project it to each other. That's mm-hmm. where the whole thing starts to crumble. Because we are perpetuating that instead of walking around with the mirror of the Word of God in front of us, so that when we see each other, we see the Word of God. And you check it out, deliver thou me from secret falsehood. Let not presumptuous sin hide no place in me. Find it and unroot it. And that's how you tear down the lies that have been innately almost built into us when we were born. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
so this is the way we change to renew our mind, allow our minds to be renewed by accepting these truths. And first of all, by knowing them. That's the first thing, to understanding the rhetoric that's used in the Word of God so that we have an understanding of what God is trying to communicate to us. And he does that with these particular four words, very, very powerful words that uproot all kinds of strategies of the enemy. It uproots them. It binds it, and it sends them back to hell because it's a lie. It does not stand. It has no longer any influence upon us because the truth of God, as the Word says, has made us free. And it makes us free as we evolve ourselves in learning it, in understanding it, in seeking it, and getting the knowledge of it, and getting the wisdom of how to use it and when to use it and what it was for, what it was meant for. And so those are the things that then make us liberated and free and no longer bound by false beliefs, mm-hmm. standards of the world. And people can say, you know, they can laugh at you because, you know, you do something that the world says it's okay, you know, why you got to be so strict or whatever. And it's like, you do you. This is me, you know, and this is me because there's a few things that I've come to understand. Anybody else?
Wow.
Well, I want you all to make sure you have this assignment. I know that we only did 3 people. Thank you for our visitor that share. We didn't get your name, so please, we definitely want to acknowledge you. So definitely share your name with us.
He's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem. One of the things we just want to always make sure we do is identify ourselves before we speak. Part of what I would like us to take this week to do is to thank God for accepting us when we ourselves were unacceptable by ourselves and by others. And so there are times in individuals' lives who will be sent to you where they either, whether they have rejected themselves or whether they've been rejected by others, whether it's the systemization rejection, individual rejection, whether it's cultural, whatever the mindset may be. But I want us to take this week to just thank God for accepting us when we felt unacceptable, or when we were unacceptable to ourselves and to others. One of the things that Overseer mentioned in her sharing was drawing from the database of false beliefs. And so you all should have been putting together a few things. You should have quite the repertoire available, because you have been looking at who am I. You've been doing the put on, put off. You've been working on your soul decrees, I believe, soul crisis. Decrees that you make in the midst of a crisis. And so this week's assignment is to do the database of false beliefs, to just make a database of false beliefs. And for every false belief, you're going to write the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. So you're just going to make a listing of the database of false beliefs. And beside it, you're going to put the truth of the Word of God that is able to dismantle those false beliefs. So the goal will be the dismantling of false beliefs, okay? I'm going to take it by your side.
So you said,
means, okay. Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure. So the database of false beliefs, the scripture will uproot the lie, right?
So the data, yes. So your database of false beliefs is basically the lie of the enemy, okay? And what you're going to do is, for whatever lie of the enemy that you have had to confront, or that people that you have had to minister to in the midst of a crisis, it may be something as simple as, this is hard. Have you heard somebody say, this is hard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard it
out of my own mouth.
Okay, look. So, okay, but now, what does the Word of the Lord say about that?
The way of the transgressor is hard.
Thank you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, this is hard. We say it all the time. Or we are even overwhelmed. We overwhelm ourselves by the lie of the enemy that this is hard, when the Word of God says, look, my burden is, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, the yoke of the transgressor is hard. So the way of the transgressor is hard. So part of what we want to do is just look at I love the database, but look at the database of false beliefs, the database of the lies that we have said, or that we have told, or that we've heard other people say, and we just want to apply the truth. I would encourage you all to do 25 of them. Yes, this is going to all go into your curriculum with Christ. So all of this, you're just basically doing your project week by week by week. So what's the, and if time is up, but, you know, just, it can be, you know, this is hard. It can be, something that you, I can't do this anymore. I can't, I just can't do this no more. Well, you could do all things through Christ. So I can't do it no more. It's something we all have said. But at the end of the day, that's a lie that's in our database. And the truth of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. So he'll renew our strength. He tells us not to get weary in well-doing. So you just want to take 25 false beliefs, 25 lies of the enemy that you yourself have told or believe. You want to replace it with the truth of the Word of God.
Is that going to look like the put-ons and put-offs?
It could. It could. And or it may include some of the put-offs put on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just take it from that, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we've heard people say this was, I'm just going to tell this little white lie.
I know the hair colors.
Okay.
Oh, it's multicolored. Look at
and
the
we
rainbow.
Think the white lie is better than the black lie, you know, or when we give them colors because that's how we justify and feel good about doing it. So, you know, and those are just the little things that we do. We don't necessarily think about it. We would even say we don't mean any harm by it. This is the permissive will of God. He had a plan A, he had a plan B. I'm all the way down to X now.
Wow.
So you guys have been phenomenally wonderful. Thank you for your time. We definitely appreciate it. You have your life assignment. All of this is working towards your curriculum of Christ. And so allow the Holy Spirit to give you the insight that you need to record for this process, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So remember, you know, there are yes, let me just stop there. All right, thank you. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.